Sunday. Justin Cuthbert and Ailish were far this morning. Spicy J's weekend. Woohoo. Anything else happen in your life this weekend? Besides glued to the TV for controversial ends to games?
Lots of replays of a runner sliding into home.
Never watched
reactions,
so many reactions.
On the field, on Twitter, everywhere. Actually, a little adversity this morning. Local coffee shop, which I'm sure people could guess. I'm not sure what the sponsor situation is.
Yeah, don't give away free marketing.
Cash only this morning. So
I did the pin pads go down again? Like
pin pads must have gone down.
That one time?
Not a lick of caffeine in my body for the first time doing the show. So
that's rough.
It'll be a new experience altogether.
There is a coffee machine outside of our studio, but it's tough. It's one of those ones where like your teeth feel like they're rotten afterwards. You know the feeling where you have really tough, strong, gritty coffee.
We got pre-workout behind the glass.
Oh wow.
Here. Just do a dry scoop. Have we talked about dry scooping before?
Scooping,
I thought you have.
Okay, well, I did in college. It doesn't really count because you're just like an animal in college.
You've done it.
I guess. We would dry scoop, but you would do a scoop and then you would you would wash it down with like BioSteel. So you were just like, an animal.
I was going to say the Gatorade bottle. The Gatorade bottle is actually perfect for that because you can like squirt it into the direction of where the sugar lands.
Oh, yeah. You need that.
But now I'm eyeing up that pre-workout over there.
Yeah, so
Brett's
filling in behind the glass. He's just pulled up a bin of pre-workout. You won't do that.
I probably will if Brett's willing to give me a scoop, I probably
will. Monday morning, Justin Cuthbert's going to dry scoop during the first commercial break, and we can track his progress throughout the day, how he feels. It's really big right now. I don't know why. I think it got, like, big on TikTok. Everyone, like, dry scooping in their cars before they run into the gym.
Not good before cardio. I'm hoping Brett's not doing cardio later.
He's got some time at least. Oh, yeah, he's got a broken leg.
Yeah,
so
he's not going to be doing any cardio.
He can't do any cardio.
The caffeine's just going to be pumping through his upper body as he goes through that workout today.
There was a girl I used to play hockey with that would have like an energy drink between every period. I don't know how she didn't collapse. That's rough. My coach actually used to like not allow us to drink energy drinks, so she'd like sneak it in the stall.
I mean, I think that was, when I was playing hockey, that was big. People going to the gas station, getting a Red Bull before games, maybe
Monsters.
Have half of it, you know, waiting for you in the intermission, the one time you get a flood between the second and third. But now I feel like
everybody knows the science is bad. Don't do it.
When you've reached a certain age and you can like feel your heart pumping through your chest before you like start on a treadmill, you're in trouble.
I had a Red Bull for the first time 2 weeks ago since college when I was on Tim and Friends and I got the last minute call up and I didn't have a proper nap and preparation. And they're like, hey, can you be here in 4 hours? So on my way to
that's enough time for a nap.
I had other things scheduled. Okay.
Okay.
I wasn't prepared. I had a day booked and I had things to do and it was my first time co-hosting Tim and Friends. Okay. I was a little nervous. Hard to sleep. I had to get, you know, hair and makeup and outfit. Anyway, so on my way to the studio, I picked up a Red Bull and I drank it in the makeup chair and I could feel the whole time like dun, 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 my heart. But I didn't know if it was like nerves, but yeah.
A combination of the two.
Yeah. I haven't even had Red Bull in like a alcoholic beverage.
Now, something about Red Bull, I mean, that's also dangerous.
Yeah, that's
but
really
something
bad.
About Red Bull is it just really works in that scenario. Like, it tastes good in that scenario.
It's not bad.
It cuts through the
a little zang.
The other liquid involved.
You know who probably had some Red Bull? Twins manager, Rocco Baldelli.
I was going to say that, like, if he had a scoop of pre-workout before he came out.
Holy, that guy.
He might be still in the field.
Was in one last night. So if you haven't seen the videos of buddy Rocco, I think he threw the most childish hissy fit that I've seen a manager do in a long time. But deservingly so.
I feel like he lost his manager card yesterday.
I don't know. He's getting fined big time. Like, they had to just, like, mute the broadcast for about 6 minutes while he went on this little rant.
Yeah. I thought it was like there are, you know, it's usually reserved for the older gentlemen.
Yeah, like
the Buck Showalters of the world.
You've
like they know
your,
how to
keep your time. The umps kind of respect you to just go off.
But they also know how to go off. Like that was sloppy. That was a sloppy
it was a
rant.
Sloppy
he
one.
Was all over the place. He was like turning around in circles. Looked like he was dizzy.
And the finger pointing at the ground, like I think he almost popped his shoulder, like Tim Meza dislocated it. Like I think he was en route to that.
It was rough.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
Well, I guess we should probably discuss why he was so angry.
So yesterday, I don't know if you're at your cottage, you missed the game, you saw Jays in 30. I'm pretty sure the whole 30-minute segment was this call. Extra innings. Jays are like with a current blown lead, looking to get back from that. Merrifield, actually, kudos to him. He's fast. We saw that speed that everyone hyped up at the trade deadline, which is one of his like big selling points, is he's fast. He could steal bases. Well, we saw that last night. He's sliding into home plate, and Sanchez is blocking the plate per the MLB rule. The catcher may not block the pathway of a runner who's attempting to score unless he has possession of the ball. If the catcher blocks the runner before he has the ball, the ump may call the runner safe. That is the written rule. We're getting into the territory of the kicking motion in hockey, where it's very much subjective to is this a call that you can overturn or not. So it's called out. Then there's a 7-minute review. And I guess they do it in New York. So it's like kind of a
which thankfully wasn't on the Blue Jays in 30.
we got
the whole Baldelli rant.
23 minutes left to the whole game.
Seven minutes is a lot. I admittedly watched it on Blue Jays in 30, so I didn't get the full experience.
It was
seven minutes.
Obviously, the crowd was kind of split because it's in Minnesota, so there's some Canadians there. It's overturned, and chaos ensues. Twitter obviously erupts. Everybody is a rules analyst now.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, though,
welcome to hockey Twitter.
Hockey Twitter and baseball Twitter just merged last night. The hockey
Which
Twitter people are so bored. There's no hockey that they've now encroached.
They wanted to get in there, yeah.
Into baseball Twitter. I admittedly have watched this play upwards of 20 times, and I see it both ways. I'm on the fence, and I can't pick a lane because Merrifield admits that he like knew the rule and he like purposely kind of like tried to cheat the rule a bit, which kudos to you, buddy. But
he definitely slid into the right area.
He slid right into his leg. But the Sanchez guy does put his leg slightly in the direction of Merrifield. But the overhead camera shows that like Merrifield kind of goes between his legs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He also catches the ball.
Like, it's not like he's leaving a trail leg behind and catching the ball on the other side of the plate. Like, he caught the ball on the side in which the runner was coming in.
Mm-hmm. God, it's
nailed it with the hockey Twitter. Like, I thought hockey rulings were tough.
This is a rough one.
Like, this is really, really... I'm surprised they overturned it. But
Schneider goes, I was a little bit surprised it got overturned, too.
Yeah.
This is the first
Merrifield
time.
Merrifield wasn't surprised, though.
No,
he
Merrifield
was talking about,
was like,
oh,
I did this. I scouted this guy out. I knew his angle.
I saw Sanchez covering the plate beforehand.
He said that the guy that threw the ball to him on, like, I don't know if he was shortstop or second, had just come in the game, wasn't warmed up properly. He had done a full scouting report while he was running to home plate. Like, Merrifield.
His reaction, too, he was pointing to something. I don't know if he was pointing to, hey, I got in there, or hey, his leg was blocking.
No, his quote is that he was blocking the plate. He was blocking the plate. And that's what he said to the ump who was standing there. Anyway, there's multitude of audio clips for you. Let's start with what Merrifield has to say post game. I think he's talking to Hazel May.
You don't want it to come down to a rules decision, but you know, the rules are there for a reason. If you know it wasn't there, kind of like, I don't know, a while ago, I could have run him over and try to free the ball. He's got to give me a lane to slide in. Didn't think I had one, and like I said, I think they made the right call.
Okay, so he knows the rule. This is like the rule has obviously been changed because of so many injuries, like just crushing
and
the catcher.
So many collisions.
Like, you would just go in.
Like, this is the Buster Posey rule because
exactly.
He broke his leg.
Exactly.
But I mean, back in the day, the collisions, like this would have been a massive collision.
Oh,
and the goal was to hit them so hard that the ball pops out of their glove.
And he,
like, the goal was to blow them up.
he specifically said, in the past, I would have tried to hit the ball out of his hands, which means plow this guy over and send him into next week.
So good to have the rule.
We'll good to have there. The rule. The rule clearly saved that guy an injury. But everybody's conversation was that he needed to be in that position to catch the ball. Like, he didn't, he would have missed the ball if he didn't move into that lane. I think that's.
I feel like his leg pretty much had to be there for him to catch the ball and, like,
it's tough.
Have a chance at tagging the runner. That's what I think is, like, if you're brought there by the pitch, it would have been awkward if his leg was in any other position.
What do you
He has to
it?
Go down to try to tag the runner.
Was he going
to
do a squat? Like, I don't think that's an efficient.
Would have been worse.
It would have been worse. So this guy, Rocco Baldalli, he was dry scooping.
Yes.
You got to listen to this quote. Also, please text in 590-590 what your thoughts were on this call, because we're all
because we're on the fence. We're on the fence. We don't.
You know what? Convince us
tough.
Either way.
It was worth 7 minutes.
It was.
So compelling arguments. You can sway us.
Well, it's like we'll take your argument as the judge, and we will help articulate that to the listeners, and we'll see who wins. This is Rocco.
That play has not been called since the beginning of replay more than a couple of times. In all of baseball, the thousands and thousands of games and plays at home where the catcher actually does block the plate over and over and over again, that play has virtually never been called. And for someone to step in that situation and ultimately make a decision that was blocking the plate, that's beyond embarrassing for our game, for all the players out there on both sides of the field working their ass off for the entire game. It's completely unacceptable. I can't even believe I'm sitting here talking to you guys about this right now. It's one of the worst moments I think we've seen of umpiring in any game I've ever been a part of in baseball. And I think it was pathetic what just played out. And I could go on and on and on about this. The umpires on the field have nothing to do with it. They made a play on the field, which is the right call, which every person in all of baseball, including the umpires, know is the proper call. And someone in New York decided that that was worthy of being overturned on the field.
That was the first compelling argument.
Yeah,
I kind of that was more respectable
no,
than what he did on the
to
field.
Rocco?
I mean, there's some parts of that. There's some parts of that that I'm with, yes. But other parts.
There are two sides to every story.
Let's hear some of the texts.
Lots of texts coming in. Everybody has an opinion. I love it. Rob says, either way, someone complains. No one got hurt. Let's just be happy you didn't lose your catcher for the playoffs. I like that, Rob. That's a good optimistic
view.
It
actually did.
Level-headed.
It did work out pretty well. Like, yeah. It obviously worked out better for the Jays. But, I mean, one of 162, like, to blow the gap. Like, it happens. It literally happens because it's such a grind, I think. I think that's why people go off the handles so much in baseball.
And the fact that rule hasn't been played in years, possibly.
They also got the chance to tie the game with a runner on second to start the next half inning.
That's right.
And failed to do it. Like, I'd be more angry with that if I was the manager, because
that was a
failure of execution.
And that's it. It actually happened again yesterday in the Orioles game, which is so strange. But they were down by, like, 8 runs.
Which I guess hurts Baldelli's argument about
because
this never
happened before. It literally happened while your game was on. Okay, so Simon in Shelburne says, Sanchez was in the blocking lane before catching the ball. He set up there. The rule says he can go there once he has the ball, not before.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best point. Yeah. If that leg was, I don't think it was unreasonable for his leg to be there because he was set, like, that's just how he was setting
but
up.
That's the way the
But it
written.
Was there, and it didn't have to be there, I guess. So the fact that it was there to start, stayed there, he ran into that leg, I think that's probably where the ruling came from. It's interesting. Does it happen from the umpires? Because Baldelli was blaming the umpires. Or is this, like, is there an office somewhere
I think
in New York?
It's New York.
Or New York makes the call?
It's New York.
Because, I mean,
the guys on the field, the umps, they called it, and then they went to, like, the booth. Like,
they go to the booth, they do that, talk to someone.
Hockey in the car.
They don't have, like, a headset. Or, a monitor.
I think there's times
like, in soccer, they go and they look. Yeah. And they make the call.
VAR.
Hockey, sometimes they make the call. Sometimes upstairs.
I think that seemed to be a call New York situation. But in a regular game, you watch them, like, look up on the board and see if the runner was safe at first. Mm-hmm. I think maybe less of an impactful play.
The league's interpretation of the rule should probably be accepted if, like, it's going to the highest level and they look at it and they literally wrote the rule and came up with the ruling. Rocco. I'm less on Rocco's side now. I'm going back and forth here.
Jason says, cry me a river, Rocco.
It's also a good point.
I love it. And he also then texted back. Jason's fired up. The catcher needed to move up the line and receive at a different angle, still leaving an open path to the plate, in my opinion.
Tough job for the catcher.
It is. I would never want to be a catcher. Okay, so keep your texts coming. We'll sprinkle them in. We're going to talk about this, I'm sure, throughout the day. We have Julia Kreutz at 7.
Get her take on it.
And then we have Chris Colabello, former Blue Jays first baseman, at 8. This will not be the end of the discussion, so keep it coming in the text line. Other things that happened to the Blue Jays, they lost two players this weekend. Baeza dislocated his shoulder. George Springer gets placed on the IL after we kind of knew that was going to happen. A little bit of an injury bug going around. I think that's kind of the time of year where these things happen. Unfortunately, Mesa is actually quite valuable. There's no more lefties right now in the lineup. I mean, they're going to be able to call up buddy Matt Gage or Tyler Saucedo, remember him? Taylor Saucedo, yeah. Who's on the 60-day IL, but he's been in AAA. He's working his way up. Apparently, he only had one earned run while striking out 15 across 11 innings, but it's the Bison, so not sure how much of a upgrade they can be from Mesa, but you got Gage probably coming in to fill in for that injury. It seems hard to imagine there's any way he could make it back this season. Dislocated shoulder. He was in pain.
Throwing shoulder too, right?
No.
No?
I think it was his right shoulder. That's a positive.
That's a positive. Then maybe there's a chance. I mean, I don't know if we buried the lead, but it was a big weekend. Like, there were other things that happened other than this play at the plate. I mean, this was kind of close to playoff style baseball. Two playoff teams that were gearing up for playoff runs.
Big crowds.
With what they did at the trade deadline. Of course, a raucous atmosphere. They split two apiece. Couple injuries for the Jays. Obviously, not the best. But we saw some like pockets of that like intense baseball we could be seeing in a month, 6 weeks time. And I think my main takeaway from the weekend was I was impressed with their situational hitting against like really tough relievers late in game. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't perfect, of course. They found themselves in positions where they needed hits. They needed runs in late game scenarios and didn't come through. But I thought what they showed against Jorge Lopez and Duran, that hard thrower, it was 102 on the gun, getting big hits. And Tapia had the biggest hit with that game-tying bloop single.
You can always rely on him to make a good hit.
I thought there was good situational batting and stuff that could be big and more important moments down the stretch of the season. That's sort of what was the bigger thing other than the play at the plate for me.
Bo, since moving to the 5-hole or getting a little shake up in the lineup, 5 hits, 4 runs, 1 home run, 3 RBIs in his last 3 games. So a little change of scenery.
I think he was there. He was in the 5-hole on Thursday too, because we were talking about it. I think he had 7 hits in the series. Like it was obviously a profitable series
a great
for
move
Bo
by Schneider
in the 5-hole again. We were talking about the psychology of it. How long does that last? Why?
Do you keep him there now? Does he earn a promotion and go
but
back?
But that middle of the order with Teo, him, and Lourdes, like they were, that is really deadly in the middle of your order.
That's a good question.
It sucks that Alejandro Kirk has been struggling as he's been promoted up in the lineup a little bit. But if he gets going, then you're really rolling.
It's a tough thing to navigate. One guy is profiting from a change in the lineup and you want to keep him happy, but you need to maybe shuffle a Kirk somewhere else. But how do you manage the hot streak and the cold streak without you know, getting someone back out of their rhythm? That's a good question to ask our guests later. But yeah, Bo's looking good. I'm very impressed. I think that takes a lot of mental fortitude to be able to have this demotion, in air quotes, because he's going lower in the lineup, but find a way through it.
And on the flip side with Kirk, like, is it affecting him that he moved? I don't know, honestly. But, like, do you move Lourdes up? Fifth in the majors in batting? Ooh. Unstoppable right now. Possibly. 20-game hitting streak, I think. Like, why is he not a candidate to move up? Or is that just the right spot for him? It probably is. Maybe the power is not there as much as, you know, the other options.
Well, with Springer out of the lineup, we're going to see some funky, I think some funky leadoff situations.
Right.
He's going to be out. They said a 10-day IL stint. Hopefully, you know, just a little blip is how they worded it. But he missed 4 or 5 games before this. He hasn't played a back-to-back game since July 27th. Mm-hmm. That's concerning. He had that black arm brace going around. I don't know. It's a tough one. He has really not been a healthy player over the last few years. He's 32. He only played 78 games last year. He's had oblique quad knee injuries. Now the arm. I wonder the concern level or just the let's try to get him 100% for the playoffs. Is that where we're at? Just put a little bubble around him.
I think the problem is like, okay, they were advertising it as, well, it can't get worse.
Ugh.
But can it get better? 10 days?
That's the question.
Is that going to
improve anything? Yeah,
it doesn't
days,
seem like that's the case.
From everything that I've heard from people that know more than us, that have been players, such as Caleb Joseph, who's been very outspoken on the broadcast. He's been doing great, by the way, saying that he thinks that, you know, it could be something like those bone shards or bone chips. Like, that's not just going to heal itself in 10 days.
Not dissolving in 10 days.
You can't just extract those. It's clearly very uncomfortable. I wonder, and that's a great point, what's going to change in 10 days?
It's probably a pain tolerance thing. So if we've been pushing it, or if the Blue Jays have been pushing it, perhaps it was the right move to take a step back. I think we know why Whit Merrifield is a Toronto Blue Jay.
It's clearly been a great move.
And he's impressed so far.
He has.
And he scouts catchers.
Big Merrifield guy.
Yes. That's cemented. Me. You were a big Merrifield guy on Friday?
First
cemented
game.
Cemented Merrifield
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, I was right on the Merrifield guy. But Springer's going to get like an anti-inflammatory shot in his arm. I've had those, like a cortisone shot, I guess. Similar to that. I had that in my hip. Oh, tough. It's not a very nice feeling to get it, but then honestly feels like you're like, just like, where did the pain go? It's really nice. So hopefully that helps him. I've done it before. It's a nice feeling. But it seems like he's been dealing with this injury for seemingly like 2 months. So why make the move now? Did you miss the boat to have an earlier break? Did it get worse? I don't know.
We shall see.
We shall see.
One more thing, because I did mention the good things from like playoff. Yeah. Like,
there's some good stuff that happened this weekend, but also some concerning things.
Yeah. Yeah. If the defense in big spots, you know, that's going to mean something when it matters the most.
Yeah.
As is the situational hitting. And I believe it was Friday night. Cavan Biggio mistake. They survive. Danny Jansen with an error. Maybe should have belonged to Vladdy. I don't assign errors to folks. It's not my job, but it felt like Vladdy could have made a play there. So a couple problems defensively that you'd like to clean up. I think Chapman had an error this weekend too.
Yeah, that was tough. It popped right out of his hand.
So, you know, still things to monitor.
Oh, well, yeah, you split the series, I'm sure.
In Minnesota, split it.
Well, you had a more difficult, I think, situation with like a Mitch White. First of all, made his first Jays start.
Buried the Mitch White.
Mitch White, buddy. Okay, so I think he was fine. Like, he's just, it feels like a very average dude, like just a guy. He went 4 2/3 innings, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. I feel like that's kind of what you're expecting from a guy, 85 pitches. But, okay, these are the arguments that it was fine. It was pouring rain.
Yeah. I think he was a little unlucky.
Unlucky
start.
Like, there
were some unfortunate circumstances that surrounded the start.
He was fighting
like the grip early, which is not ideal.
It's his first game with a team after not really getting much opportunity to get to know them, you know, really quickly in there as a starting pitcher, which is really not his specialty. We'll give him another opportunity to prove. John Schneider said, crappy game conditions. I thought he pitched well. I thought he got a little bit better as he went and threw strikes. That's a tough lineup to navigate when you have a bunch of lefties together. His breaking ball was good. His heater was good. And it's definitely an outing to build on.
Yeah, I think that's the right assessment. I mean, it's not like, oh, we don't have anything here. Like, you got to run him out there a few more times, and you got to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
He also was, there was some bad luck in that. I think Gurriel lost a ball in the lights.
Yeah, that's happened before.
I think Meza came in, and it was White's run, even though, you know, that probably wasn't deserved. It didn't feel deserved in the moment. So, yeah, a little bit unlucky, something to build on, something to work with. Mini strip.
That's a shot at Stripling.
Is it?
Mini, I think mini is a proper, like, stripping light. How about
stripling
that?
Light strip.
Somebody just texted in asking where Pearson is. I actually think he's going to be available in a few weeks was the last conversation that I saw. I feel like we've seen that.
Won't be holding my breath on that.
I think we've seen that
same
article.
Be great.
I just think, and JD's put it like this many times, that he's a bonus if it happens.
Yeah, you just can't count on that.
Expect.
If you're counting on that, sorely mistaken.
Yeah. He's had some real tough luck, but they're going to need this consistency with Mitch White. He seems like he's going to be a guy that is going to pitch. Kikuchi tonight, very important game for him. Cannot be overstated. This guy needs to really string together some performances.
Pressure on Berríos too. He struggled again.
Yeah.
Friday night in Minnesota. That was what turned his little slump around. A solid start in against Minnesota at least a couple weeks ago. They're the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why we were, you know, questioning what they did at the deadline, because the same issues persist. The same issues come up, it seems, every series, every big series. And now the spotlight, as you mentioned, shifts back to Yusei Kikuchi. See if he can have a quality start.
Certainly hope so. This is a 3-game series with the Orioles, who have been, I've said it many times, the most profitable team in baseball, because they went on a hot run where they were winning games. They had no business winning. They also got the plate run last night.
Yes.
So two teams that really want to get
someone show Rocco Baldelli.
These spicy runs at home plate. It should be good.
But the Orioles were very competitive. They may still be. They also sold a little bit at the deadline. So these are still must-win games. Mm-hmm. Still the Baltimore Orioles. Still a team that didn't want to contend this year. So important games coming up here.
Last three road games for a while. Well, they've been on the road for almost, like, I feel like 10 games or so, 10 at least three series, it feels like. And then they're going to be home against Cleveland on this weekend. So that will be
a nice feeling.
And then the Orioles again. So lots of Orioles coming up.
Time to make hay.
I love it. Okay, a couple more texts here before we move on. Justin from Stainer. I think it was the right call because Sanchez was blocking the plate before he had the ball, which made Merrifield slow down because he didn't have a lane. Even though the ball got there first, if Sanchez isn't in the lane, I think Merrifield would have beat the throw. So he thinks Merrifield had to slow down. I think he ran as fast as he could.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching Sanchez for sure, and not as much of an eye on Merrifield. But Merrifield could have just, I mean, he definitely slid into Sanchez, I think,
which
purposely.
Which he says purposely.
But I feel like he could have blown up the leg of Sanchez if he wanted to. Like, I think it was purposeful from him.
I saw
he reluctantly went into the leg. And if you do that, you do slow yourself down.
Mm.
If his leg wasn't there, I think he scores. Which is the
Definitely.
Point of the whole thing. That's my final take on it.
I like it. Roger from 905. If you replace home plate play with the same play at second base, what would you call?
Well, the same rule doesn't apply. So right. He would have been out.
Great question. Missing point. If plate's not blocked, he's safe. Throw is high. If throw there miles ahead of runner, he should be out.
No, that's, yeah.
Okay, so everyone's on the same wavelength, it feels like.
If the leg wasn't there, Merrifield would have scored. So by rule, if the leg should not be there.
It's just the timing of the throw in the leg, which seems to be the question from Twins fans, at least.
Establishing the leg.
When was the leg moved? When was the ball in the air? Did he catch it, then move the leg? Did the leg move before he caught it?
That's the thing with rule changes.
What was the intention?
Is like every possible detail could be considered, and then something will happen that is completely different and not considered, and you'll have to fight through the gray area. I mean, that is the definition of NHL rulings. Like, they think of this great, okay, offside review. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great.
Ugh.
We'll never make a mistake. And now we're talking about planes and geometric lines and, you know, extrapolating
like in the air.
Lines going vertically. Like, it doesn't need to be this difficult. I guess this one kind of does have to be this difficult. But again, if it just comes to establishing the leg was blocked. If the leg was in front of the plate, if the leg was on the line, touching the line, I don't know, before the runner gets there, then maybe he's out. Or then maybe he's safe. I mean, see, I'm already confusing myself.
You got to pick a lane. Okay, last one here. Chris from Brampton. No, pick a lane. Get it? Morning, guys. On the topic of pre-workout and energy drinks, I played semi-pro baseball. Nice. And was teammates with a guy that would crush a can of Red Bull and have a smoke in between innings. He was our starting pitcher and would have it lined up in the clubhouse in between every inning, would have a can of Red Bull and a smoke. Oh my God. That guy needs to see a doctor to make sure that he's still healthy, because that is taking years off your life. There's no doubt about it.
I love the buffet in the dugout of a softball team taking it way too seriously.
Yes, this is semi-pro.
I mean, I guess that's worth it. I mean, you can do what you want at semi-pro. But like,
Professional
athletes, not at the highest level, like they, any like stereotype, they go hard in that direction. Hard in that direction. So I don't doubt that a semi-pro baseball team would have every possible vice waiting for them in the dugout.
The only question I have.
The cigarettes are different. A little beyond.
Well, how do you time to have an entire cigarette and an entire can of Red Bull? What if it's like a really quick inning, like the guy goes three out, like just like boom boom boom, and you're like, you are shotgunning this Red Bull basically.
Yeah.
Please send us an update on the health, please.
The cigarette combination when involved in sports is always hilarious.
The stuff there's been back in the day guys that smoked cigarettes on the bench in hockey.
Oh yeah, things have changed.
Yeah.
Phil Kessel still wants the Coke, but...
He does.
The cola.
Yeah. Be specific. Okay. We're going to take a break because I think I have maybe the running for the top best A-list that I've ever done.
And I'm going to do a scoop of pre-workout
before we do that. We discussed that Justin Cuthbert is actually going to do a scoop of pre-workout during the break. I will film it. And you'll have to go to @Elish4.
I thought it was going to be on the air.
I can do both.
Pump your social media.
But both. I'll film it. Like, they're not going to be able to see you on the air. They're going to hear, like...
Yeah, just choking.
It's like the cinnamon challenge. Just up next, yeah. Okay? Justin Cuthbert, dry scoops, and maybe the best A-list of all time. That's next.
Sportsnet 590, the fan. Now, it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
It's time for the A-List. It's time for Justin Cuthbert to dry scoop on the air. So, Brett, can you tell us a little bit about this? Is it just creatine? Is it dry? Is it like, what's the caffeine content? Is he going to be okay?
Am I going to fail a drug test in the future?
Potentially, yes. We got 5,000 milligrams of creatine.
Oh, boy.
And a whole bunch of caffeine.
Wow.
Are you nervous?
A little bit more now.
Yeah, you didn't look. Like, you just agreed to it.
I've done pre-workout before. And then 5, the scoop 000? Inside is like four times the size of the scoop that I've
Okay, so
seen
did
in my
you
life.
Use half a scoop or a full scoop?
I have a
scoop?
Half scoop.
He's got a full scoop.
A full scoop would have just like filled up this entire cup.
So he's not going to put his mouth on the actual like container. He put it in a cup, but I will zoom into the cup and show you.
You got
to
keep talking here, by the way.
All right, so okay, I wish we could. Is your mic on?
Yes.
Okay.
Turn it off?
No. I think you got to go for it. Okay, ready?
All right.
Dry scooping in 3, 2, 1. He's got it. Mm. Oh, no. Also, the flavor is like fuzzy peach flavor. He's struggling. He's really struggling. Yeah, now he's going for the water. And good morning, everybody. Welcome to Dry Scooping on the Fan Morning Show. Justin Cuthbert, taking one for the team here. Oh, he's got to start coughing right now. Poor guy. Yeah, he's coughing. We're going to move on, and you're going to get to the mic and tell us how it went. But yeah, that was a fuzzy peach flavored. Flavor good? Thumbs up. Yeah, thumbs up on that. Okay, so poor guy. Taking one for the team. Lloyd says...
Oh, my eyes are watering.
Oh, yeah, you're really struggling. Lloyd from Guelph. Can't wait for his ears and face to start tingling. You got two and a half more hours on the show, Justin, and then a drive home. So it smells really good, I'll tell you that.
Oh, man.
How do you feel?
That was a lot.
And that was only my entire mouth.
How would you do a full scoop of that?
It's disgusting.
Do you dry scoop, Brett? How is this happening?
Oh, Brett doesn't dry scoop this. Well...
Yeah, it was like the cinnamon challenge where it's like immediately in my throat.
I never did the cinnamon challenge. That's like dangerous, isn't it? People coughing up blood afterwards.
See, normally when I've dry scooped before, you can like put it in like the side of your mouth.
That went straight down your lungs.
Just filled my mouth. There was way too much.
That's disgusting. Okay, well.
But now I'm like, I'm alive now.
Yeah, you're already cooking.
I'm ready to talk sports.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to tell you about some sports on the A-list today. Also, we're going to just update every 30 minutes on how you're feeling. So. First up, Bill Belichick obviously has a reputation for wanting things done his way.
I'm also sweating now.
Yeah, you're in a tough spot. I don't know if Bill Belichick's opinion on dry scooping, but that's not part of it. So you can't be late ever in a Bill Belichick run team. It's just, there's no excuse. You're done. Former Patriots lineman Rich Orenberger found himself in a predicament. He knew he was going to be late for practice because he overslept. So his phone dies overnight. He hears the sound of like birds instead of his alarm. You know you're in trouble at that point. So he's on this radio show. It's his own, the Hartman and Richo show. And this clip has since gone viral. He's frantic, doesn't bother looking at the clock, jumps in his car. He's driving to the stadium. He's about 20 minutes away. He's 5 minutes from being late to this meeting. So math adds up. He's going to be late. First of all, this guy, if you don't know him, he's drafted in the fourth round, 09. He played there till 2011, so he's not Tom Brady, but he did something that I think any non-rational human would do. This is what he did.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And I have this sinking feeling in my stomach, like I'm going to get cut. Like he's not going to have me on this football team come tomorrow. What do I do? And I'm cruising down this like slight sloping hill that brings you to the first traffic light that I have to turn right to get to the stadium for the morning meeting. And I see a church van in front of me that's all dinged up and it's got, you know, the black smoke coming out of the exhaust pipe. And I'm just like, I'm going to hit this car. I'm gonna rear end this car. I'm gonna hit this car because it's better to whatever pay the insurance or like peel off this guy a couple hundred bucks than embarrass myself being late for this Patriots team meeting. So I rear end this church van. I hit this poor old man who, by the way, was like minutes from being 100 years old. This guy with a long white beard, I mean, it was father time, comes creeping out of the front seat of this church van. And I didn't hit him hard. I like cruised into him enough that it dented my bumper. So I had proof. So I had visual evidence that I actually got into a car accident.
That might be the best story I've heard in a while. Purposely just, I'm not going to get cut. So I'm going to hit this van on purpose. And make sure my bumper's dented, which he specifies later in the clip. It's a pretty long clip. If you want to hear the whole story, go check it out. It's on his TikTok, actually. And he shows up to practice late. And apparently they actually go out and look at his car to make sure that he wasn't lying. I guess.
I mean, how does that change your fate, though?
Well, then he has an excuse. Like, he didn't sleep in. He got in a car accident is how he worded it to the Patriots staff. And they kind of gave him like a pass. Like, oh, no problem. But, well, don't let that happen again, obviously. But big difference between sleeping in and getting in a car accident. So he decided to purposely rear end this poor 100-year-old father time guy. He says it later in the clip. He says that the guy was fine. He was really lovely and was like, no problem, sir. Like, no problem. And like, wanted to just like, was like, no, like, let me pay. He was trying to like pay off this guy. Be like, no, no, your bumper's indent. Like, let me help. And this, and the Patriots guy is like, no, like, please. Like, I don't, it was my fault. Anyway, everyone's fine and healthy and nobody was injured. But honestly,
it's a big gamble though.
A big gamble. Like a, you know, a baby or something in the car or in this church van.
Like, you feel like an established, yeah. You feel like an, if they had like the little sticker on the back.
Baby on board. Baby bad. I'm late for my meeting.
It's like at a certain age, you actually need that on the opposite side. Like old man on father time on board. But like, once you're established, am I talking fast?
Yeah, you're getting a little loopy.
I'm definitely sweating. But like, once you're like, I don't know, might be different in the Belichick world. But like, you get away with things if you're good. You don't get away with things if you're bad.
Really? I try to look up his stats.
So wouldn't he get cut anyway?
No. This saved him from getting cut. He played 2 more years.
Then he was not going to get cut.
I don't know. It's Bill Belichick. Apparently the rule is if you are late, you're cut. Like, there is no wiggle room. There's no leeway.
What if Tom was late?
Oh, Tom would never be late. It's TB12. He's probably there 6 hours early. He probably sleeps there.
Tom was dry scooping.
Tom,
6 a.m.
Yeah, he's eager. He runs both, like, he runs to the stadium and back uphill both ways. So, I don't know. Text in, this will got me thinking. Text in the worst things to be late for, okay? Obviously, being late for the 6 a.m. fan morning show would be up there.
That'd be tough.
Because there's not a lot of backup wiggle room. Nobody's sitting in the on the bench waiting to jump in.
Other than Brett.
Other than Brett. Brett could do the show. I would say being late for your wedding, probably up there.
Be a tough look.
590-590. What have you been late for, or what is the worst thing to be late for? Give us your stories, okay? We want to air your dirty laundry on air. Speaking of weddings, next up on the A-list is absolutely another ridiculous story. Mohamed Touré, a footballer who spent last season playing in the Chinese Super League for the Shenzhen Longmen, had an opportunity of a lifetime to sign a very significant promotion to join a Swedish top league team who wanted him there for preseason training camp. Great. Congratulations to him. The only problem was it was his wedding day in Sierra Leone on the same day. Very difficult travel plans there. Sierra Leone is not close to Sweden. What would you do in this situation, Justin?
When you have to choose between work and personal?
Seemingly so. It's your wedding day.
I mean, you probably have to be there. You probably have to be there. For it to happen, you have to be there.
Do you? Because what he did.
Did he zoom in?
He took these pre-wedding photos with his bride. They're lovely, by the way. They look beautiful. And sent his brother to stand in place at his wedding. His brother did the entire wedding ceremony, walked down the aisle with the bride. Like, he was the one that did the whole event. He sent his brother to the wedding in place for him. What?
This is shocking.
This is shocking.
this first thing, this is the most understandable partner in the history of relationships.
Oh, yeah, she's apparently lovely.
That she was cool with this.
She's like, go get him, honey. I'll just marry your brother.
That is unbelievable. Like, she deserves all the recognition in the world for this.
She's a hero.
She's a hero. She's a hero among us. And then the brother, like,
there could be a weird storyline here where
what does the brother
they
do?
Fall in love. I don't know. I didn't. Okay. This is a pretty
obscure
story. So he's a footballer.
He's obviously pretty established. Playing in the Chinese Super League, you said?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you get paid a lot of money to go over there and
play.
Hey,
but this is a big promotion. Go to Malmo or whatever.
Oh, he went to Malmo.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a legit club. That's probably the best club in Sweden, I think.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Headed over there, so
maybe playing in the Champions League this year.
So her words to him were, just go win a championship, honey.
Like, what championship is happening?
I don't know. You're getting past the point.
It must have been
He sent his brother to get married to his wife down the aisle.
Like, what's the brother's job? Is he like one of his guys? Is he a part of the entourage? Like, he does things for the brother? Or is he like, does he have a wife at home?
Buddy, you want me to get the brother on the show? Because I'll try. Daniele, producer Daniele, let's get this brother on. I don't know the answer to that, regardless.
I think the main take home is that woman is the most understanding person walking planet Earth. That's her day. It's not his day. It's not the brother's day. It's her day. She sacrificed a bit of her day.
So they obviously got married, like, the paperwork before. I don't know. Been married. You understand.
Probably.
It. You do, like, you write on.
Sign
something.
Sign some papers. Maybe DocuSign.
Yeah. DocuSign.
DocuSign from Malmo.
Yeah, he's like, hey, buddy, let me just put my signature on there. Okay, but they got married. The brother stood in. I don't know if they had to kiss.
What happens
this
there?
This is a rom-com waiting to happen, a sports rom-com where the brother and the wife fall in love because they had this beautiful ceremony together and they're like reading their vows, I assume, to each. It's outrageous.
Yeah, words taking on meaning.
Maybe he's always loved her.
In front of friends and family.
Right?
Maybe he wanted to do it.
Oh my God, maybe he wanted to do it. I don't know.
Maybe was behind the transfer to Malmo.
He's
he orchestrated all this.
I'll pay you guys to send my brother to Malmo so I can marry his bride.
And maybe if it doesn't work out, he just lived out his fantasy where he got to marry the girl of his dreams.
Oh, I wonder if he's married. Anyway, there's so many factors. I'll keep an update. Like, you know, it's...
Let's track this one.
The news is slowly trickling out of Sierra Leone. I don't think it's not on TMZ yet. Okay. Last thing on the A-list. Justin, do you remember 11-time All-Pro linebacker Greg Ivory?
I do not. I remember Chris Ivory.
Good answer, because he's not an 11-time All-Pro linebacker. He's a Bleacher Report host who went around at the Hall of Fame induction game asking fans if they remember Greg Ivory, 11-time All-Pro linebacker for the 49ers.
You're trying to trap me there.
I was trying to trap you. I'm proud of you for being honest, because I would have been like, yeah, I think so, maybe. I don't know, maybe he was good. Anyway, so he asked people.
Blake would have had a stat.
Blake would have been like, yeah, that guy never played. He was a bust from Penn State. Anyway, so he asked people their opinions on him at the Hall of Fame induction game. And yeah, it's embarrassing.
Exposing NFL fans at the Hall of Fame game.
Greg Ivory, 11-time All-Pro linebacker for the 49ers. He's getting inducted on Saturday. How do you feel about his career?
One of the greats. I mean, you just really can't compare his position, the way he played.
It changed the way that position's played. Ask anybody that's played that position over the last 20 years since he left the game.
Greg Ivory? I don't even know who that is.
Did you see the game where he got 25 tackles in the first half?
I did not, but I've seen the highlights.
Do you have that kind of career?
Exactly. A lot of people think he should be in the Hall of Fame, but I think he should.
I have some memories, yeah. I mean, he's a solid guy. You know, stuffing up the middle.
He should have been put in the Hall of Fame, gosh, in the mid-90s.
Okay, so if you couldn't hear that because it was kind of quiet, some of the answers are, yeah, he changed the way that position was played over the last 20 years since he left the game. Did you see the game where he got 25 tackles? I don't know, but I've seen the highlights. To have that kind of career, it's awesome. A lot of people think he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, but I think he should. I have some memories. Yeah, he was a solid guy, stuffing up the middle. He should have been put in the Hall of Fame. Gosh, in the mid-90s. Caught red-handed lying in this video, which is, you know, your face is shown. A lot of these guys are bros, you know, like big football guys. Mm. They take fantasy football really seriously. All these dudes, some of them are like really decked out in gear. I don't know, it's a pretty bad look.
Tough look. I mean, we would never know anything about, like, you know, coming up with some sort of analysis that we might not be standing behind.
Never.
None of us. But these guys caught red-handed. I'm glad I passed the test.
Honestly, how embarrassing would it have been if you said, yeah, I remember him, and then I played that clip.
That would have been tough. I would have had to...
You would have lost all credibility on the show forever.
Take another scoop of pre-workout and exit the building.
Okay, before we take a break, how are you feeling?
A little bit better now. Like, it was in my throat the entire... Like, I've been reaching for your Gatorade bottle... desperate. It's coming up again.
Okay, let's take a break. Perfect timing. We're going to talk to Julia Kreutz, MLB.com Blue Jays reporter. Was that the right call last night? Let's keep it going. It's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.